Picture this. A Harvard-educated lawyer and mother of four wakes up one morning and places two drops of LSD under her tongue. Not enough to hallucinate, just 10 micrograms, a fraction of a recreational dose. This is how Ayel Waldman begins her month-long journey into microdosing, desperate for relief after years of mood disorders that left her cycling between rage and despair. Traditional medications had failed her spectacularly. SSRIs, mood stabilizers, amphetamines, and benzodiazepines all brought cascading side effects without lasting relief. When perimenopause disrupted her carefully calibrated treatment regimen, she found herself at a breaking point, her volatile moods holding her family hostage. What would you do if nothing else worked? How far would you go for just one really good day? The microdosing protocol Waldman followed was a three-day cycle, microdose day, transition day, and normal day, designed to prevent tolerance while providing clear baseline comparisons. On microdose days, her senses heightened with vibrant colors, pronounced scents, and enhanced creative flow, though she occasionally experienced dizziness and mild nausea without breakfast. Transition days became her golden period, feeling optimistic yet grounded while handling family and work with unusual grace. Normal days initially meant returning to familiar irritability patterns, but her baseline mood gradually improved throughout the experiment. Most remarkably, her frozen shoulder condition that had caused 18 months of chronic pain improved significantly. Waldman's experiment coincided with a renaissance in psychedelic research at institutions like Johns Hopkins, NYU, and Imperial College London. Scientists are now conducting rigorous clinical trials on how psilocybin, LSD, and MDMA can treat conditions from depression to anxiety, addiction, and PTSD. The results are compelling. At Johns Hopkins, 80% of participants reported significant reductions in depression and anxiety persisting 6 months after just one or two psilocybin sessions. MDMA-assisted psychotherapy resolves PTSD in 83% of subjects after 2 to 3 sessions versus 25% with talk therapy alone, earning FDA breakthrough therapy status. Unlike daily medications, psychedelics may offer periodic interventions catalyzing lasting change through what researchers call pivotal mental states. Families are hostages to members' moods, Waldman writes, reflecting on how her emotional states affected those around her. Having grown up with volatile parents, she had sworn not to replicate that pattern, yet found herself doing exactly that, her moods dictating her household's emotional climate. During the experiment, her family noticed significant changes. Her younger daughter observed, "You've been much happier. You've been controlling your emotions. Like, when you're angry, you're super chill." Her husband noted she could reset herself more quickly during conflicts, while her relationships with her aging parents improved as she found herself listening more patiently and accepting them as they were. Waldman realized the microdose had given her something more valuable than mood elevation. It lessened the undertow of negative emotions, creating mental space for insight and presence. This became evident after her experiment ended when their car's electrical system failed during rush hour. Normally, travel mishaps made her irritable and panicked, but this time she remained calm, recognizing the futility of getting upset about something beyond her control. Outside the car, she discovered her family in a circle in the rain, taking turns beatboxing and freestyle rapping. When invited to join, she stepped in and began rhyming ineptly, foolishly, joyfully. Those moments in the rain, embracing the present with her family, remain her fondest memories of the trip. Throughout her experiment, Waldman struggled with an unexpected issue, workspace. Despite being a successful author with multiple published books, she had been working nomadically, shuffling manuscripts between the kitchen table and various corners of their home, while her husband enjoyed a dedicated studio. Her resistance to claiming space stemmed from a deeper issue. She didn't feel her work deserved it, consistently downplaying her writing as books meant to be read while breastfeeding or glorified chiclet. During the microdosing experiment, that critical inner voice grew quieter, sometimes completely silent. She experienced her most productive month ever, producing more pages than any previous month. By the end, she had transformed a room in their 1907 house into her bright, clean space, a physical manifestation of her growing self-worth. The room became both a practical solution and a powerful symbol of her evolution as a writer, marking the moment she began treating her craft with the respect it deserved. Despite her experiment's positive outcomes, Waldman couldn't ignore the criminality of her actions. Possessing LSD carried serious penalties, 1 to 3 years in state court or up to 6 months federally. Yet her privilege as a white, educated professional woman meant she faced minimal risk of prosecution. As a former federal defender, she had witnessed firsthand how the justice system disproportionately punishes people of color for identical offenses. The statistics are damning. While white people use drugs at 5 times the rate of African Americans, African Americans are incarcerated for drug offenses at 10 times the rate of whites. One particularly haunting case from her legal career involved representing an intellectually disabled, undocumented immigrant charged with methamphetamine distribution after being entrapped by a DEA informant. Despite having an excellent defense, she ultimately advised him to accept a plea deal rather than risk a much longer sentence with a jury unlikely to sympathize with an illegal. The most profound outcome of Waldman's experiment wasn't the temporary mood elevation, but the insight that different mental states are possible. Like the doors of perception once opened, this awareness doesn't quickly close. What began as a desperate search for a really good day became something more profound, a journey towards self-acceptance, presence, and the courage to live according to her deepest values. Her experience raises profound questions about consciousness, mental health treatment, and drug policy. While these substances aren't panaceas, they may offer new hope for millions suffering from conditions that have proved resistant to conventional treatments. Perhaps the greatest lesson is that healing often requires us to step outside our comfort zones, to question established wisdom, and sometimes to take calculated risks in pursuit of wholeness. What if the path to better mental health isn't always found in the expected places? What if sometimes we need to venture into uncharted territory to discover what truly helps us thrive? The journey toward healing rarely follows a straight line. It meanders through darkness and light, through convention and rebellion, through desperation and hope. But in that journey, we might just find not only relief, but wisdom. What if our most promising mental health treatments have been hiding in plain sight, obscured by decades of prohibition? How can we reconcile the potential benefits of psychedelics with the devastating inequities of drug enforcement? What if the greatest benefit of microdosing wasn't just personal relief, but the ripple effect it created through our most important relationships?